Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time to be together. We just pray that you would be with each one here, that they may absorb the words that you have for us today. We pray that you would be with Pastor as he brings a sermon. Just pray that you would bless him and help him to speak the words that you want us to hear. Thank you again, Father, for this time to worship together. It is a privilege that we can come in a church building and worship you. In your name we pray. Amen. Please keep standing.
We want to say thank you to our Heavenly Father for the freedom we have in Him. But we also say thank you to all of our service people who protect our land and give us the freedom that we have. Shall we say the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay.
Majesty, Thank you, guys. Good morning, church. Who's excited to be here? Who's excited for a long weekend? So, before we get going, I like to celebrate, especially when big milestones or when something big happens. As a church body, we are called to celebrate certain moments. So at this moment, I would like to call up Paul and Caddy, if they could come on up front here. These two were off at summer camp this entire last week. They even went down a big old slip and slide. I may have joined them, but they both did something this week that I think is so important that we share as a community. And so, do you guys want to tell me what you guys did this week? You guys want to tell everybody? What'd you do?
We accepted Jesus.
Woo! So, I just felt it was so important that we share this with everyone here as a reminder. Tomorrow we celebrate the birth of our nation. This week, you guys celebrate a new birthday, the day you accepted Jesus. Before you guys go back, can I pray for both of you? Let's bow our heads, guys. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and we want to thank you for these two. We want to thank you for their willingness to say yes to you and to your Son and what he did up on that cross. Father, we just ask for special guidance on them. May they continue to seek you for the rest of their lives. May they just know that you are right there with them. May they experience you in ways they may not have before. And Father, may they just be hungry for more of you. May we as the church walk alongside them, encourage them, and always just be there as a good example so that they may walk this out. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Man, isn't that exciting? I just thought we had to do that. We have to share that. And with that, just always, if we ever know if somebody knew, we'd let's celebrate it as a church in these moments. I know tomorrow is 4th of July, and we get to enjoy times with friends. Going to have some barbecues going on. There's going to be some parades and fireworks. And today, the message, we're going to be talking a little bit about the founding of our nation, but we're also going to be talking about the founding of Christianity in and of itself. Just like these two got to start a new foundation this week. So before we get into the message, we're going to pray again. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity for us to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and freedom and worship you in this way. Father, may our hearts be open and our minds be open. And Father, I ask that this message today is your message and not mine. And Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For those who want to follow along this morning, our main passage is going to be found in Acts chapter 2. That's where we're going to be hanging out. But tomorrow, we celebrate 246th birthday of our nation. It's the day that Continental Congress approved the Declaration of Independence. Then on August 2nd of 1776, it's one of the most important but least celebrated days as well. In American history is when 56 members of the Second Continental Congress started signing the Declaration of Independence in Philadelphia. It was the start of a new era. It was a new beginning. The American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language defines treason as the betrayal of allegiance towards one's own country, especially by committing hostile acts against it or aiding its enemies in committing such acts. When those 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence, they knew full well that they were committing treason against England and that they knew the death penalty would be right around the corner if they were caught. What kind of men were these signers? What kind of men signed this Declaration of Independence that started this nation of ours? Well, 25 of them were lawyers or judges, 11 were merchants, 9 were farmers, or large plantation owners. One was a teacher, one was a musician, and one was a printer. They were men of means and education. These men ranged in age from 26 to 70, and most of them were in their 30s and 40s. Yet they signed the Declaration of Independence, knowing fully well it could cost them their lives, it could cost them everything they had, their wealth that they had, their status in society. Benjamin Franklin, after putting his quill pen down, said, we must indeed all hang together, or most assuredly, we shall hang separately. Despite such dire consequences, the reality was that our founding fathers valued freedom and the promise for themselves and others. They would be willing to risk their lives, fortune, and honor to make this dream a reality of what we call the United States of America. For those who signed the Declaration, proven to be very costly for them. Five of the signers were captured by the British and brutally tortured and beaten as traitors. Nine of them fought in the Revolution and died from the wounds or hardship from the war. Two other signers lost their sons in the war. Two more had sons captured by the British. Over a dozen of the 56 signers had their homes ransacked and burned to the ground. Nearly all of the men were poorer at the end of the war than when the war started. 246 years later, as a grateful nation, we need to remember those that took those courageous actions and sacrifices who are our founding fathers to create this nation. After the founding fathers declared the nation's independence, you may find it interesting to know that not everyone was on board. It wasn't always the popular option. When the word of the decision of independence spread, the revolutionaries celebrated it, while loyalists considered it an act of betrayal. Others simply hoped that they would escape the war without much loss or suffering. Regardless of what political position they held, they felt the impact of the new goal of independence in some way. For revolutionaries, independence was a possibility that many had not expected or even considered a year beforehand. Protests to alter British policy had turned into a full-blown rebellion. Some revolutionaries were even uneasy about the big change. Loyalists to the crown were not so impressed with how far the revolutionaries had gone. They wanted to remain part of the British Empire for all the benefits it had to offer. In fact, many people don't know this, but as we said earlier, there was 56 signers for the Declaration of Independence. Did you guys know there was 547 loyalists in New York that signed the Declaration of Dependence soon after, affirming their loyalty to the British Empire? The signers of these documents included farmers, merchants, lawyers, and more. These everyday people had as much in common with the ones wanting independence as those who didn't. But they were taking the easy road. We often underestimate the power of small groups. You know, it's easy to sign on to the easy side. But when there's something difficult ahead, when the road ahead is difficult, it's normally few in numbers willing to do the work. When we look at the founding fathers and we think of those 56 signed the Declaration versus the 547, what would have happened if they would have just gone with the dependence instead of the independence? Where would we be at today if they had done that? What about the people who were unsure of both sides? Those who liked the idea of freedom but didn't want to bear the cost of what it would take to get that independence. You know, we find that within Christianity all the time. A lot of people like the idea of Christianity. They like the idea of Jesus, but they're scared of what the cost is going to be. That brings us to Acts chapter 2, where we see the start of the early church and the church starting to rise up. See, the disciples and the followers of Jesus had just spent 3 years with him, walking and talking with him daily, doing life with Jesus in every step they took. They saw him perform many different miracles. They saw the lame walk. They saw the lepers healed. They saw people being raised from the dead. They heard Jesus speak about the coming kingdom. They heard him talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. They knew all of this was to come. Yet when the world came crashing down around them, when Jesus himself was captured, they didn't see what Jesus was talking about beforehand. And so the moment that he was captured and he was put in front of the Romans and he was ordered to be executed on the cross, the disciples got scared and they ran. They hid out. Then on the third day, Jesus rose again. And after Jesus revealed himself to the disciples, it tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, that after he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by conceiving proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. He spent 40 days revealing himself to the disciples and others. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6 tells us that he appeared to over 500 brothers and sisters at one time. Most of them are still alive, but some had fallen asleep. At that moment, most of those people could have been still gone and talked to. Over 500 people saw Jesus after he rose from the grave. Now, here's an interesting fact for some of those naysayers who say that's just in the Bible. There's other documents out there that actually talk about from within the Roman Empire, within the Jewish tradition and so forth, that talk about the fact that Jesus himself was alive again after he had been killed up on the cross, and that he rose again. In fact, some of the Jewish writings are some of the most intriguing to me because they hated Jesus, and the idea that he would still be alive completely changed everything for them. But that's what was going on at this moment in time. And it wasn't just the disciples that saw Jesus, over 500 people in a 40-day period. Think about that. And before Jesus ascended to heaven, he told the disciples there's several things that we were to do. One I think most of us are very familiar with is called the Great Commission. It's found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, if we can get those passages up there. It says, Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always till the end of age. So Jesus is here telling them, go out, share the gospel, share what I did, and so forth. But he says something interesting in Acts 1, 4 through 5, we find something else. While he was with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which he said, you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. Here we have Jesus telling them to share the gospel, but at the same time, he's telling them to hold on and wait for a moment. They're called to go out and share the gospel, but hold and wait. So often we can get so far ahead of ourselves in life that we can get ahead of what God is trying to call us to do. We try to jump ahead of what God has asked of us. We need to make sure that we are waiting for the Holy Spirit before we speak. We need to make sure that we're waiting for the Holy Spirit before we move. That way it is within His timing. I read somewhere this week that the Holy Spirit longs to reveal to you the deeper things of God. He longs to love you through you. He loves to love through you. He longs to work through you. Through the blessed Holy Spirit, you may have strength for every duty, wisdom for every problem, comfort in every sorrow, joy in his overflowing service. When we jump ahead of God, when we jump ahead of the Holy Spirit, we fail to do the job that God has called us to do. Yet so often we want to make that jump. You know, which brings us then Acts chapter 2, and it says, we have the disciples and about 130 of Jesus' followers all together, united in prayer, waiting for the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus promised them. That's where we're at right now. Verse 1 then says, when the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. They were listening to what Jesus told them to do. He had ascended to heaven. They were joined together, all the believers, and throughout the book of Acts, it shows us time and time again that togetherness in the early, that the early church enjoyed. How often they were together for everything they did. Here in the beginning of the church, again, we see the church together. And just so you know, Pentecost was the Greek name for the Jewish festivals of week. This occurred 50 days after the Passover. So this would have been about 50 days after Jesus died on the cross, and roughly 10 days since Jesus ascended to heaven. In verse 2, it says, suddenly a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. When they heard this sound, like the blowing of a violent wind, certainly an experience I think many of us can identify with or that we can think through. When we hear that violent wind, we think of tornadoes, we think of high wind storms. We just had them a couple weeks ago. We can hear that sound. The word that is used, though, is the same word that Jesus used in talking about the Holy Spirit and the wind to Nicodemus and John. In John chapter 3, we see that. If we look back on the Old Testament, though, it also talks about how the wind would fill the holy temple with God's presence within the temple. So he's using this as an outline of showing that God was there with the people. In verse 3, it says, they saw the tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each of them. They saw what seemed to be the tongues of fire. Apparently, this fire started off as one, then they separated and it came down on all of them there. The 130 people there. Like wind, the Bible commonly associates fire with the presence of God. We just heard how in the first it was this wind presence. It was God coming in. Now in this verse, we look at it and it talks about how it's like tongues like flames of fire. Again, this represents God. Just think back to on Moses in the desert. How God spoke to Moses was through a burning bush. Or how God led the Israelites out in the desert at night, it was with fire. By starting off as one fire and dividing out onto everyone, it shows us that the same Holy Spirit that works in one person, no matter the age, the sex, or the race of the person, we all get that same Holy Spirit. That one fire came down and it divvied out on every single one. We don't get separate individual ones. It is one God, one Father, one Son, one Holy Spirit. And it comes to each of us who acknowledge Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And if we continue through the passage, something really unique happens in verse 4 is where we start. And it says, and then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And where I think it even gets more interesting is verse 5 and 6. And it says, now there were Jews staying in Jerusalem, devout people of every nation under heaven. When this sound occurred, a crowd came together and was confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. You see, there was people that were gathered, and it tells us in verse 7 were Galileans. So the people up in that room, the 130 people, were Galileans standing together. And then through verses 8 through 11, it explains how it was 15 different languages and people groups being represented at that moment in time. 15 different ones. And each one of them heard the disciples and the followers of Jesus talking in their own native language. Each one. And in verses 11 and 12, it tells us how the people responded. It says, we hear them declaring the magnificent acts of God in our own tongues. They were all astounded and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? Can you imagine being there on that day? Witnessing this small group of people. They were not fancy people. They were not people who were considered overly educated. They weren't the ruling party of either the Romans or the Jewish descent. They were speaking boldly in a way that everyone could understand in their own language. God was doing something big, and he was working through his followers at that moment. He was doing something different that they didn't know how to take. They waited for the moment that Jesus had told them to. They waited for that moment to declare the gospel message at the right time. Yet, just like today, not everyone that you share the gospel with will respond in a positive manner. I've asked people if they want prayer before, and I've been told no. I've told people about Jesus, and I've been told to get away. It happens, but it's nothing new. When Pentecost started, it tells us in verse 13 that some sneered and said they're drunk on new wine. Yet just earlier we read that some were astounded and perplexed, and others just sneered and made fun of them. So some were astounded and perplexed, and others were making fun of them. You know, I've always wondered what made some people respond one way versus the other. Why were some in awe of what God was doing at that moment? They were hearing all of this, but yet there were others who didn't. I don't have a clear answer on exactly why that is that way, but I have an idea based on my study time in the Bible. The only thing I can think of is the reason that some people accept Jesus so clearly, and that they, when they hear the word speak, they're willing to take it in, and others reject it, is because sometimes those people who reject it have closed their hearts off so far to God that it doesn't matter what is presented, what information is there. They have shut themselves off to God, and they don't want to hear it. And here's the deal. God will never force himself on any individual person. If you make the decision not to follow Jesus, that's your decision that you make. God will not force you into that relationship with him. Instead, he turns you over to yourself. He allows you to choose the path and reject him. And it breaks my heart when I hear about people who make that choice. But that is a decision they can make on their own. And I believe that is what was going on here. The ones who were sneering, the ones who weren't listening at that moment, is they had such heavy hearts. And they were so hardened that even though God was working a miracle right in front of them, they didn't and they couldn't see it. You know, we know people that often say, I just need one big miracle. I need one big thing to prove to me that God is real. The truth of the matter is, they've seen many of miracles. They've seen God do many different things, but they reject each one because there had to be something greater that did it. They always try to find a way to explain it away. It's because they don't want to believe. And the only thing that can be done for a person like that is pray for them. And just pray that the hearts are softened to the point that at one day they will open their hearts to Jesus. In the world we live in today, this happens all the time. You know, we're made fun of for what we believe. We're told that what we believe is outdated. Or the other, there is no, you know, or there's no way that God could have done any of that. They push back even when they can't explain something. You know, and sometimes even us as the church, we see God answering prayers. We see God doing some amazing things. And for some reason, we immediately go to the point that we're trying to explain it away. We don't always want to acknowledge that it was God. We want to try to find a natural way to explain it. We find ourselves asking, did God really do that? Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, God did it. On top of that, the world finds our faith crazy. They think for us having our faith, but this shouldn't surprise us. Matthew 10, verse 22. It tells us, you will be hated by everyone because of my name. The one who endures to the end will be saved. We're called to stand firm inside those moments. To remember that God will give us the words we need at that right moment. If we do what the disciples did and we wait for the Holy Spirit, it tells us in Luke 12, verse 12, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that very hour what must be said. If we wait for God to move in the moments and we move when he tells us to move, he will give us the words, and he will make it happen. We don't have to rely on ourselves. And that's exactly what Peter did in Acts chapter 2. It tells us in verse 14 and 15 that Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed to them, the fellow Jews, that all the residents of Jerusalem, let it be known to you and pay attention to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. He's making it clear that these people are not drunk, but instead that God is doing something new. He is starting something new out. He continues in verse 16 to 21. And he says, on the contrary, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it will be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit in all the people. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. I will even pour out my spirit on my servants in those days, both men and women, and they will prophesy. I will display wonders in the heavens above and the signs on the earth below, blood and fire in the clouds of smoke. The sun will turn to darkness, the moon to the blood, before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God was pouring out his spirit right then and there, and the church was being born. What we call Christianity was setting in place at that moment. Peter continues to share the gospel of what Jesus did on that cross for each one of it. He held nothing back as he proclaimed the good news. And after he was done preaching, after he had said everything he needed to say, it tells us in verse 37 that they responded this way. When they heard this, they were pierced to their hearts and said, Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brothers, what should we do? When somebody heard the good news, when they heard the good news, they asked, what should we do? Peter replied in verse 38 to 40, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. With many words, he testified strongly, urging them, saying, be saved from this corrupt generation. And because Peter was so willing to be bold, because Peter was so willing to stand up at that moment, even though there was only 120 of them at the time, the Bible tells us that over 3,000 people were added to the church that first day. That first day that the church itself was born, over 3,000 people came to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They went from 120 to over 3,000 in a day. Because people stood up and they listened to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and they shared the gospel of Jesus. There is roughly around 120 inside here today. I want you to think about that for a second. Can you imagine what would happen if we boldly stood up here in our community and we declared Jesus to our community around us? Here in Mount Carroll, Illinois, the entire county of 14,000 people. If we stood up and boldly claimed it, not just with our words, but with our actions, if we were so filled with the Holy Spirit that we would have no problem crying out to the world around us and telling them what Jesus did for each of us, can you imagine if we had 3,000 people join us? Can you imagine if we stopped worrying about how the world looks at us? We stop worrying about being called odd or strange because of what we believed. I would rather be called crazy for what I believe than not have somebody know who Jesus is. What if they saw people who fully held to what they preached? Imagine the impact we could have in our community. You know, we're also often quick to help missionaries. We're often quick to help other churches get started in other areas. But I'm going to tell you something that you may not have realized. Just because you give money to the missionaries, just because you do all of that, doesn't take away from your responsibility of sharing the gospel in your backyard. It isn't a way to buy your way out of it. We need to let God do something new in our community. And today I want to encourage you more than ever to step out in boldness, like the disciples did, to tune into the Holy Spirit and to share the gospel with others around you, to stop being fearful and knowing that God will give you those right words at those right moments. Don't let Satan win in our community. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Latest studies show that our community is 40% holds a no religious affiliation, period. 40% of Mount Carroll, Illinois holds to no religious existence, period. How many people are out there hurting? How many families are torn apart? How many people are struggling with drugs and alcohol inside of our communities? How many people are struggling in general? You know, we just had Roe versus Wade overturned and a lot of people celebrating it and stuff like that. What if we were so on fire for Jesus within our community that it didn't matter what the law said about abortion? That we showed so much love and this community was so on fire for Jesus, there was no need for abortion anyways. There was no need for divorce lawyers. There was no need for anything inside of our community because we were so on fire for Jesus. Because that's how change happens. We need to stop holding it to ourselves. We need to start boldly proclaiming it like the disciples did. And to be faithful to God in those steps. We used to sing that song, Hide It Under a Bushel, No, I'm Going to Let It Shine. You guys remember that song from little kids? Let's start making it shine. We're up on a hill overlooking the town. right here. Let's be that light in our community in Mount Carroll. We're the first thing people see when they pull through. Let's be that beacon for our community. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We want to thank you for the opportunity we have to share your good news. Father, I pray that this week as we go forward, that we just proclaim the gospel boldly with each and every person that we run into, that we don't hold back anymore, that we know that you're going to give us the words for that moment. Father, I ask for opportunities to open up for us to share the gospel. I ask for opportunities for us to open up to invite people to church with us. Father, and I most of all, I also want to pray that our hearts be softened and that we see the need for your word to go forth around us. And that we're so passionate about it that we can't help but just yell it from the rooftops. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys as you go out this week. May you remember his words and his challenge to each one of the disciples to go out and share the good news of Jesus with everybody we see. May God bless you guys and keep you safe. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.